Are you saying
you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth and Aaron.
Do you ever find your mind wandering during, during the midst of this hot and heavy sexy fun with your partner? If so, you're not alone. In fact, a whopping 49% of Americans in this recent study admitted that they're thinking of somebody else when they're busy fucking somebody. They're somebody they're committed to. They're 49%. All right, sexy holds and pulls. We got to talk about this. Welcome to Come With Us podcast. We know sexy stuff matters just as much as the lovey-dovey stuff, and we're here to help you get all of the pleasure you deserve. So today we're going to talk about, I'm Beth Darling, by the way, from BethDarling.com, here with Aaron. Sorry, Aaron, I always forget this, but I forget to introduce myself as well as you. But anyway, so today we're going to be talking about this recent study that one poll did in collaboration with a sex toy company, of which I'm not going to name. But I don't like to pimp their products. I don't think they're the greatest products. I think they're overpriced sometimes. Here we go. So we're going to talk about that and all sorts of other lessons that we learn about how and why people love and what they're really thinking in the midst of sexy stuff. So, all right, Aaron, you want to kick this off? I know you were you surprised by that number, 49%?
Not really. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. And I don't remember seeing that they actually broke it down of how much of men and how much of women actually do.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Because that's the interesting thing is because we've talked in the past several times about how it's harder for women to get off. And so, you know, I'd like to see where that slice goes through. Is it 20% of men and, you know, 80% of the women that said they do? Is it, you know...
Well, if you had to guess, what do you think?
If I have to guess, I'm probably going to say, and I'm still going to skew it, probably 65-35 women to men.
See, I'm thinking that it's more men because men watch porn. And I know as a woman, we're thinking, or they see some hot, you know, some hot person on the street. And we're thinking, is that who you're thinking about when you're fucking me? Like, are you just making do with my imperfect body and fantasizing about somebody else's perfection?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but that never once enters my mind. Oh, like, if we're fucking, it's because I'm interested in you. And luckily, there's only been the one you. But, like, guys, I know, like, if we're fucking, there's never a, I'm going to fuck you in spite of the fact that I don't want to be here. Like, if he's fucking you, he's into you somehow.
Right. He wants to be there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And women sometimes.
I've never known a guy to just fuck just because and not for actual, you know.
Right.
Oh, but well, shit, might as well.
But there was, the study also found that 61% of people have sex even when they're not in the mood, which I thought was interesting.
Which again, I want to see that. I want to see the breakdown in gender disparity on that.
Yeah. So what did they, I'm kind of looking up. 71% of men. 71% of men said that they'll have sex even if they're not in the mood, compared to 53% of women.
So...
I think it's because women just won't have sex then.
Yeah. Women have this magical power of saying no. And men, yes, you do have the power of saying no if you want. But at the same time, this is why I want to be on these. I want to be on the panel that asks the questions. I know that this toy company probably paid. And one of the way they do these, from my understanding, from a buddy who worked in research and stuff, is they give you questions and you have to go in and you ask those questions. And they will give you sometimes like an addendum, like if so many percent of the group agrees, you're allowed to ask this specifically worded question. You have to read it this way to try to get to the root.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's just here's your prompter. Go in there and ask them.
Yeah. Okay.
But well, and if I were there, I would be telling this company, hey, look, we're going to spend a couple extra minutes, because for guys who say 71% say they do it when they're not in the mood, is it because you treasure it as a commodity because you're not having it as much as you want and you don't want to pass up the option? Because
that's what I think.
If I fed you a 6-course meal,
right?
You hadn't had chocolate chip cookies in 2 months.
Right.
I have you so full you are ready to throw up, but I offer you a chocolate chip cookie. What are you going to do?
Oh, I
eat. You're going to throw up and eat the chocolate chip cookie.
Of course.
Or eat the chocolate chip cookie and then throw it all up.
Yeah.
If you don't have that cookie for 2 months or 2 weeks or whatever, as much as you're wanting to have a chocolate chip cookie and somebody offers it to you, even though you're not hungry, you're going to go, oh, fuck, I'll eat that chocolate chip cookie. I don't care.
Yeah. But then, one in eight people said that they rarely or never achieve orgasm.
Hold on. Let me do my seventh grade fractions because I failed that, multiple times and got in so much trouble.
Well, it's more than
1.25. So 12.5%.
Yeah. Right.
So 12.5% of all people don't have an orgasm while having, and that.
Yeah. And even only 18% of the people said that they always orgasm. And of course, of that 18%, that was mostly men. But yeah. I would have thought that men orgasm I would have thought that 75% of men orgasm almost every time. That's surprising to me the most.
It's surprising for me because that's, you know, I mean, my relationship kind of agree, or, you know, goes by the old adage that it's over when, you know, or not it's over, but, you know, orgasm needs to be had by both or else it's kind of just a waste. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, if only one person gets it, like, why does the other person want to be there?
And I see that sometimes it is fun to have, you know, I suggest people do 3-minute blowjobs and stuff. I think there can be a lot of joy in sexy fun without it necessarily being orgasmic, but it shouldn't be, if that's the case, it should be like once in a while, right? One goes without the other. It shouldn't be like all the time. And typically that's what happened. Men, you know, usually will come and women may or may not. And that's not reasonable. But like you would go down on your wife one day if she had a bad day and she just wanted you to go down and you didn't, you know, she wasn't going to get you off and she didn't want to be fucked. You'd be like, sure, of course I'll go down on you.
But that's also right. But that's I'm talking straight P&V fucking. If there's going to be penetration below the belt, because the blowjob is different. If there's penetration below the belt and neither one of us or I don't get to. I'm a little annoyed.
Well, okay. So they also don't clarify whether or not it's really sexy fun or whether it's
penetration.
Right.
You know,
so, okay. I could get that.
And if you give me a 3-minute blowjob and then you literally go, okay. Well, and like, I don't come. And then you go, okay, zip up your pants. Let's go. Like, and there's no promise of, oh, hey, we're running late for dinner. I'll finish it when we get back or something like that. Or you're just like, all right, it's time to go back, sit on the couch and watch TV. Like, we're going to have a real, real hard talk about shit.
Oh, no. Because unless you're using it in a
power dynamic of edging your partner.
Yeah.
That's not, no. Don't do that and then leave that. And then just like, oh, all right, cool.
But I say as long as you give notice, because that's the thing. Yes. You don't want it started and then you're like thinking you're going and then somebody says no, right? That's a power play. But if the deal is just, hey, you know what? I just want to suck your cock for a minute or two. Okay. Then you know it's not about the orgasm, but it still feels good. But
ladies, still make it obvious.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't plan on making him come. Tell him before you take your dick in his mouth.
Right. Or tell him you've got 3 minutes. Right. Put everybody on the same page. I think that's always, always key. And that's the thing whenever you just have, if you have a limited amount of time, you know, any sort of restraint, I need to be quiet because I don't want somebody outside in the hall to hear. I've only got 3 minutes or by the way, you can't mess up my outfit or don't mess up my makeup, right? Just put those things out there. So you're both on the same page and nobody gets their feelings hurt. It's just, okay, we're going to do this and here are the parameters.
Yeah. But the thought of like me and my wife rolling around in the sheets
Yeah.
And both of us looking at each other and being like, all right, I'm done. Like, I didn't orgasm, but I'm done. Like, that just seems nuts to me.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm selfish or whatever, but no.
Yeah, I would be surprised. But there are times when I cannot orgasm for whatever reason. Like, I just, either I'm just tired, either
One of you usually does.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, is that if this number is right, that means there are a lot of couples where neither of them are coming.
Yeah, right. And that would be frustrating. Sex.
That's fucking so obtuse to me that it's just, are you done? I'm done, I guess. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, there's still more to the show. You didn't get to the final song. Like, you got to get to the closing song.
Yeah. Well, and see, part of that is why I don't, there are a lot of, in fact, even in this article and stuff, there were people that were talking that experts that were saying that it was okay for people to fantasize about somebody else while they're fucking their lover. And I actually don't think that's a good thing unless you tell your lover, this is what I'm thinking of, right? Again, if you're both on the same page, that's okay.
Okay, but we're otherwise, gonna split hairs here though.
Okay.
But so what if the person I'm imagining isn't real?
Then you still tell me.
Jessica Rabbit.
Right. Or... Just tell me. Just tell, because I don't want, if you really are imagining something else in your mind, then basically you're disassociating. If your mind is disassociated, then that's not good. But if you let me know what's going on, you don't have to disassociate.
What then if
we can both be in it?
You're fantasizing about your partner doing something or wearing something or in a situation that you know that they will not do in person. So telling them isn't going to help. And you're still thinking about your partner, but you're thinking about them doing something that they've already said, no, it's off the table.
Like, okay, hardly. I suggest that be a fantasy when you're solo pleasuring, because then you can think about anything you want to, because it's all you. But if I'm there and you're fucking me and you're busy thinking about Jessica Rabbit, there's part of me that's going to know.
By the way, I've never thought about Jessica Rabbit.
Well, I don't. Whatever.
In my head, because she's like the sexiest cartoon character I've ever
seen. She is.
Of.
I agree.
Or she's
agree.
The automatic go-to on number one sexy cartoon characters.
Yes.
But
that's the thing. But I would want like to know that or something. And like, so if we were fucking and you told me, I'd be like, oh, what about it? What? Oh, and I might start moving. Like I might imagine her to move. And I'd be like, I don't know, who was the male character in that show? I'd be like, oh.
Roger Rabbit.
Okay, then you're Roger Rabbit. Oh, look at this. I didn't know you could be so jumpy, you know? But
he was an actual fucking rabbit.
Oh.
Well, also, by the way.
I don't know.
You've never seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I did see it. It was just forever and years ago, decades. Yeah.
I mean, that was also really weird. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I don't even remember the premise. I know she was hot.
Bombshell redhead fucks a rabbit. That's, oh, okay.
Yeah. But now I have to watch it again. Okay.
I mean, they don't totally really, forgot. But they're married. Right. Like, that is her funny. Name is Jessica Rabbit because Roger is his first name. Rabbit is his last name.
Oh,
she is funny. Mrs. Jessica Rabbit.
Wow. Okay. Well,
but yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. All the Rogers out there might be getting new nicknames now. Well, hello, Mr. Rabbit. But no, I don't think it's good to be disassociating with partner play. But I agree. Like if you have a partner who's not into ass play and whatever, and you want to fantasize about that on your own, great. In fact, your partner might even be like, oh, that's good. Cause I can do that in my fantasies. You know, like I tell people, it's like, as long as I look good and I'm sexy as hell and you get off to me, I'm thrilled. Like, you know, and sometimes I want to know what crazy fantasies they're thinking about me while they're jerking off or whatever. But it really does take you away from what's going on if you're fantasizing about somebody else and your partner doesn't know it. So I don't think that's good.
I think it's not being in the moment.
Right. That's exactly it. And so I don't understand why we have a whole bunch of experts out there basically encouraging people to cop out, right? To escape.
And I mean,
during what is supposed to be seriously joyful, pleasurable, orgasmic intimacy, you know.
I'll make the excuse, or not even the excuse, but you get a tiny little back door to exit and use this as your excuse if it's a hookup.
Oh,
but
right.
At the same time, again,
yeah.
Why? Like, again, why and there are probably guys who listened to the first part of this episode and said, fuck that, you idiot. I fucked even though I wasn't into the girl just because I wanted to get my dick wet. Okay, well, good for you.
I met a swinger guy once.
But you're somehow attracted to the person you're sticking your dick in.
Right. But
like, I don't understand that.
I met a swinger guy who told me that while he does fuck other women, when he's fucking them, the only way that he orgasms is by thinking of his wife fucking somebody else.
Not him fucking his wife. He's not thinking about him fucking his wife. He's thinking about his wife getting fucked by somebody else.
Right. But so here was my response. Right. This is in my personal life. I said, well, I don't ever want to fuck you. If you're going to be fucking me, thinking about your wife, what she's doing, no way. If I don't have 100% of your attention, I don't want to do it. And frankly, I said, if I was thinking about somebody else, you probably don't want me fucking you. Because why bother? That, to me, is when you could use a sex doll. I mean, when you're really just a surrogate, that's a surrogate situation.
But see, here's my question, because we've both been to Naughty in New Orleans. We've interviewed TJ, mm-hmm. who the entire focus of his room that he runs at Naughty in New Orleans is the guys don't get to fucking come. It's all about making women feel good. Now, if he is doing it because that's what he enjoys is making women come, yep. and he can fuck you for 45 minutes, make you come 6 times and then go, all right, cool. You're done. Like, I don't need to orgasm.
He does. And clearly, right. The people in that room, the guys,
but does that give him a pass? If say you're in a relationship and you're fine with your boyfriend getting blown by his wife.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, fuck it. I can use my dick and get you off. It doesn't, like, of course he doesn't say it just like that, but you guys fool around and he helps you orgasm a couple of times and then goes, yeah, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, that would be okay, right? If I knew that and he just said, I don't orgasm with other people, with other partners, then I have the right to say yay or nay, but at least I know I'm getting what I'm getting into.
Okay.
And then I don't feel like,
but you think he should disclose the fact that,
yes,
if he's going to fuck you and if he's going to come, he's not going to be thinking about you when he comes.
Yes. Because otherwise, I think it's kind of like cheating. Because I want to feel like I am enough. Most of us do. We want to know that the person that we're with wants to be with us.
Yeah.
And especially in long-term relationships, there are so many women that really do start feeling like, oh God, we're just a hole, right? And we use the term holes and poles jokingly because they fit so well together.
Well, but it's also
nobody wants to feel like an anonymous or a meaningless hole maybe in glory holes, you know, that's a different thing. But again, everybody knows that what that deal is, but the anonymity.
But you're also not in a, there are probably some people out there who get off on the idea of just being a hole for their significant other.
Right. If that's the
times.
Team. Yes.
But if that's how you see yourself and that's how your partner sees you in a long-term committed relationship,
right?
I'm going to recommend y'all go and sit down with a counselor or a coach or somebody because
call me.
Like you gotta move past that. You can't. That's
yes.
That's very like that's 100% pre. We're Homo sapiens. What was the era before Homo sapiens?
Oh, I don't
Cro-Magnons
know.
Or whatever.
I don't know.
Like they were human shaped, but they didn't understand language and they didn't communicate well and they didn't do that's what that is. It's an unevolved human.
Yeah.
You're not a human. You're basically just a monkey.
Well,
or an ape or whatever the
but
hell.
But yeah, but I think sometimes like in a role play situation or a power play situation, it could just be where somebody says to their partner, I am just gonna use you. This is about my pleasure. It's not
that's
about
the play.
Pleasure,
like right?
And that's exactly. That's the play. Not, that's the kink. And everybody's on the same
page. You're making
page.
My dinner. And guess what? Even though you're making my dinner or.
Right. I'm bend over laundry, and service
you're just
me.
Fucking whole.
Yes.
I can do whatever I want with. Constantly.
Yes. Right. And that's why I'm saying. So as long as people are on the same page. Knowingly. So if you tell me, okay, I'm going to fuck you and think about, you know, whomever it is. And I can say yay or nay. Just don't. Yeah. That's what I think. So,
yeah,
and I mean, it's me against a litany of very esteemed professionals in this world. And I just still
think they're wrong.
Yeah, they're going to steam my nuts. I don't care.
Oh, my God. Do you know women steam their pussies?
What?
You heard of that? Yes. Yeah, that is such a thing.
Why?
I think like in Goop or some bullshit, like people talked about it and then she talked about it and they what? Think.
No, but it's, why?
Okay. So you sit on basically like a toilet seat or a queening chair and underneath you put water that is steamy, but it has to be so many inches away so it's not burnt. It doesn't burn your pussy.
Yeah.
But you sit and then you drape like, I don't know. And there were places that you could do this. Like, I don't know, like wellness clinics or something. And you drape some sort of towel around so nobody necessarily is seeing your pussy. And you sit there and it's supposed to steam and they think it's healthy. And I'm like, that is not healthy. Your pussy is not meant to be like steamed. It's crazy.
But
your pussy is the best. It's like a self-cleaning oven. Just leave it alone. And when it's healthy, it works beautifully.
Okay. Yeah. That's point A. But point B being, if you ever had a humidifier, like I got sick as a kid. I had a lot of allergy and sinus infection problems. So I had a humidifier. Mm-hmm. My parents had to spend money on specifically distilled water because you can't put tap water in a humidifier because when it becomes humidity and steam and you breathe it in, you're breathing in all that extra bacteria and gunk that is on the faucet, in the pipes.
I didn't know why that asked for distilled water. I had no idea.
This is my understanding of it from when I was a child.
Wow.
I might be completely wrong. There might be an ENT who's listening or some other type of medical professional who's going, you're a fucking idiot. No, there's not. Yeah. Once it steams, it kills all the bacteria. I don't think it gets hot enough because at that point in time, you're getting way too hot to kill all of that bacteria. Now, if you're steaming your vag, and they're just, you know, bringing in a garden hose and filling up this little chamber pot and, you know, hey, it's on a hot plate. You are inviting all kinds of stuff in there that you are going to need some whatever.
No, because this is why they tell you, like, when the water supply is tainted, they tell you to boil water. So boiling water
is not steam. You can steam water without boiling it.
Oh, okay.
Your coffee steams in the morning without being constantly boiled.
Okay. That's true. I gotcha. Okay.
You don't have to 212 degrees to get it to steam.
So I don't know, but I'm telling you, I don't think that that's a very good idea. And
I don't think steaming any, like now when you said steamed pussies, I was thinking of like the steam thing from Starbucks where they make your like latte and they steam
the milk.
And I was Jesus, like that. It's a weird, it's like the dentist tool where the air gun, but it's hot and it just shoots hot moist air in your vet. Yeah, no.
Oh, anyways, yeah. No.
That's where my brain went.
That would be also very, very, very bad.
If anybody else's brain went there, please make me feel better about myself and email us, comewithusconfessions@gmail.com, because I need to know I'm at least somebody has something in common with me and my brain is not broken. But yeah, if you Google.
Oh my God.
So I decided to do this, I'm not going to say professionally because that sounds weird. Clinically, I Googled steamed labia and it's called vaginal steaming.
Yeah.
And there's the Cleveland Clinic of Health Essentials has an article on it. Like, and Women's Health has a whole article with headline, Vaginal Steaming, Why You Shouldn't Steam Your Vagina. Thank you.
Yes. Right. And that's the thing. But it got
Stop really trusting popular. Celebrities who act like they know what they are doing. Guess what? She is an actress. She is, her entire life is faking it. That's what acting is. You have to fake it with confidence or you're not a good actor.
Yeah.
And guess what? She is still acting like she knows what she's talking about. She has no fucking idea.
She's also the one, I think I told you this, that she created a manufacturer or whatever, or branded a vibrator. And then when she was interviewed about it and they said, well, have you used it? She refused to answer.
Yeah.
She why on earth would you create something and not talk about it?
And it's
crazy.
Unbelievable. And I know not to disparage someone who is so highly esteemed, but this whole problem started with Oprah because she was famous and she was on TV right when she like you remember mid-90s when she started losing weight. Everybody, all of her audience went, oh, well, I got to do whatever she says she did. I'm going to do that because that works for me. No, it doesn't. She was a billionaire. And guess what it takes? Not what she did. It takes counting your calories, working out, eating healthy, being active.
But I will tell you, no, she talks about that. To Oprah's credit. No, she did even then. She brought on experts to talk about it. And I will tell you, so she also, this is why she doesn't, Like, but if you go to Cosmo, they'll list like 10 best vibrators.
Yeah.
Those are paid, right?
Yeah.
The manufacturers paid to be included in that.
But or my point about it,
they're I'm advertisers.
Not saying, I'm not saying she was a fraud in how she lost weight or anything.
No, she wasn't. No. Because her list was always things that she actually liked and used.
It was the cultural reaction of women who are in her audience who went, whatever she says, because it worked for her, I'm going to do. And
And that's not on them, though.
I steam my vagina, I'm going to believe it and not even research it because, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow says she does it and I'm going to fucking believe her. No, stop believing people who don't deserve, if you wouldn't trust them to take care of your cat for a day and keep that alive, don't trust them with advice about your body.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I will defend
Oprah
because I don't think, but Oprah was responsible about that stuff. I think
she was.
I'm sure she made mistakes, but she really did try to be forthright about what was going on and what people could actually really do without overpromising or making stupid statements about things that she didn't actually know anything about.
Well, Oprah, please don't sue me. It was just an example of how powerful you are
and
your voice. And when your voice reached that maximum capacity,
yeah,
every woman in the world, every woman in
and
the U.S.
she knew that.
If she had gone onto her stage and said, "Do this, it'll make you feel better."
Right.
If she had gone on there and said, "Hey, when you have a head cold, dip your head in the tub and then go outside in a 30-degree day, I promise you're going to be better."
Right.
People would have done it.
Right.
Now she wasn't irresponsible like that.
No,
she wasn't. I didn't watch the show. I was a young boy.
She didn't. But you know, Dr. Oz got in trouble. Yes.
Another idiot.
Right, because he used the fact that he's a doctor and then he would endorse shit that he should have known that was bullshit. Right. I believe in challenging. You should challenge your experts and stuff.
Vet your celebrities if they're going to give you advice because they don't have your
even your neighbors and your friends, because we never know. Again, right before this episode,
I'm going to get so screwed over all this shit.
I was such an idiot,
You're my lawyer, by the way. So
right.
When they draw up charges on or a lawsuit against me for bad mouthing them, sorry. Yeah.
No.
We're going to have
Anything we say, right? Don't take everything we say at our word either. Feel free to double check it. But that's like right before this episode when I couldn't hear you. We were getting ready and it turns out that there's this little button on my microphone that's the volume for my ear set. took me 20 minutes. And you were just like, "What the fuck, Beth?" Like, well, I don't pretend to know. I don't give expert advice about audio equipment or technology.
Yeah.
So, don't listen to me about that shit. So stay in your lane, people, right?
Yeah.
Or admit what you don't know. You can give your opinion.
And that's the best part about being a human is you can honestly look at somebody and go, "I don't fucking know." You know how many times I say that? My wife is told at her job, she is allowed to and encouraged, if you don't know the answer, say, "I do not know."
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with telling somebody you don't know an answer.
Right. And it's the best thing you can do. My mentor as a lawyer, that was one of the first things he told me. He's like, "Until you learn that, you're going to suck as a lawyer." And once you learn that, then you can always say, "I can find the answer." But that way you won't get sued for screwing things up.
Yeah.
You just know when you don't know.
So, I asked a tax lawyer one time for employment law stuff. And he was like, "Dude, I don't know employment law."
Exactly.
He goes, I can tell you where you can go read about it if you want to learn.
Yeah.
But he was like, "I can't actually tell you because I have no fucking idea." And it wasn't that and he's a friend. So it's not like he was being I'm going to protect myself because you'll sue me thing. It was, I honestly have no, I don't even know what to do because I've never looked into it.
Well, and this is what people need to do about sexy stuff. And I know it's hard, but men, when you don't know, if your partner wants something and you don't know, you need to say, "I don't know. You got to give me time. I'm not even sure about this. Give me time and then do your research." Because, and then we'll wrap up, I think, but one of the last numbers on that article was that 50% of people have some sort of fantasy or desire that they haven't shared with their partner.
Yeah.
And I think that number is actually much higher, quite frankly, that's my sense. But so if you can just acknowledge that you're not going to know everything, then you can have the courage to ask your partner what they want, what they think about, what they imagine, what might turn them on. Because again, whether they want to do it in real life or not, it's fun to share these things. And you can increase your sexy just by bonding over that and creating alternatives. So
yeah.
All right. So there we go. I think that's everything I've got about this. We kind of went off on a tangent. But.
Oh my God, we did. That is the worst tangent we've had in months. I'm sorry, guys. Like, if you stuck it out all the way to the end, like, I'll give you a sticker if I ever meet you or something. Yeah. Because, oh my God, that,
My okay, well, hurts. Well, we won't drag it on longer than at least. So we'll just say thank you, guys. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being here, being with us, for Come With Us podcast. I'm Beth Darling. If you don't have my book, The Five Kinds of Intimacy, what the hell are you waiting for? Come on. I got an email the other day. Sorry, I'm going to brag. A woman married 43 years. And she said her husband actually wanted to read my book. And I don't know these people from Adam. I don't know how they found it or not. And she was so excited. She's like, I think this is actually going to help us so much. So I'm excited. So go for it. Go to BethDarling.com or go to Amazon. 43 years. And she's like, this is giving us, it's going to give us new life. So
that's like taking steroids once you hit the finish line.
It's not the finish line.
It's not, but I mean,
it's good, right?
No, and I'm all for doing it. Yeah. Every relationship, you can always make your relationship better.
Yes.
But to be married 43 years and survive and not kill each other,
yeah. Or, it's huge.
Or divorce over 43 years and she go, said, hey, right. This is going to keep us going. Like,
yeah, they've had their ups and downs, she said.
How much further are you going?
Oh, they're going.
Sorry, not trying to call you extremely old, but I mean, life expectancies are what they are. And
no, but a lot of people, again, you have to remember 50% of couples are, or 25% of couples are sexless. 25% of marriages are sexless. So that maybe they just haven't had any sexy fun in years. So anyway, but there you have it. So if you don't have my book yet, please go freaking get it. Even if you don't read it, do the intimacy at practices in the back. I promise that will help you. So it's The Five Kinds of Intimacy, How to Keep Your Love Alive, and by Beth Darling. You can find it on Amazon, but you have to type the whole The Five Kinds of Intimacy in there. So, all right.
And to prove that I'm rooting for that couple, here's to 55 years. I believe y'all can make it to 55 years of marriage.
Yes, happily.
I'm not saying you're old or you're, you know, getting ready to meet your maker or anything. I hope you guys actually do make it to 55 because that gives me a goal of like.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking awesome.
Exactly. You deserve that, right?
Yeah. So, right now, the goal is 50. And if she doesn't kill me before then, it's a good day.
Knock on wood. All right. There you go. All right. So thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. It has been a pleasure. And we can't wait to see you next time. I'm Beth Darling for Aaron and I. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.